Gil, what's your favorite podcast app?
The Himalaya app.
That's our favorite. Why?
Because they love us.
They love us. We love them.
And we love them too.
They discovered us.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered the greatness of the No Chill podcast. So that's where we come out a day early.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You can get every podcast you love, including us.
Mm-hmm.
Discover new ones. All right. So all you got to do, go to the App Store, enter Himalaya, H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A. Boom, you're in.
And you're in.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Then subscribe to the No Chill podcast. Yes. Of course.
Of course.
Of course. On this episode of the No Chill podcast, we sort out the MVP race. As we witnessed this year, three incredible players had three incredible seasons. Russ averaged a triple-double for the third straight year. Giannis took it up another level, dominating on both ends of the floor and leading Milwaukee to the best record in the NBA. And then there's the dominance of James Harden. He averaged the most points on a season since MJ's 37 in 1987. He went for 60 twice and 50 plus seven times and has the Rockets back in championship contention. All three are deserving in their own ways, but there can only be one MVP. For Agent Zero, the choice is the beard. And he tells us why. It's the No Chill podcast. Remember to download the Himalaya app and subscribe to get us a day early. Of course, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow the No Chill channel on YouTube. All right, Gil, it's time to decide who gets the MVP.
Okay.
First of all, I think we have to define what the MVP is.
Growing up, the MVP stood for most valuable player.
That's what those three letters are, yeah.
Most valuable player. So that's how I judge MVP.
How do you define valuable?
Valuable, mm-hmm. One to the team and one to the league. You know, it's that's how you're supposed to judge who the MVP candidates are and who wins the MVP. Who's valuable to their team, plus who's most valuable in the NBA.
And the thing for to be most valuable is to do what, right? That is to lead your team, is to deliver night after night, consistency. Mm-hmm. I think you have to lead the league in categories, right? So QB leading scorer, leading rebounder.
I mean, you have to, you're supposed assist. To be valuable to the league. That, like, yeah. You're doing something no one else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that over the past few years, we see guys like that are this year for Harden, next level scoring runs.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook averaging a triple double, like mm-hmm. they're just raising the bar every year. Mm-hmm. So to become MVP,
you have to stand out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You really have to stand out. So I think this year we've had some standout players.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's time for us to decide.
Okay.
Who's who out there? So the guy that I think we both agree is not the MVP, but should definitely be in the conversation, Russ.
Yeah, you know, with Russ, it's I hate the notion that a guy who's averaging a triple-double is considered the second best player on his team. Like, that's when I say, you know what, people don't actually know basketball and don't value the game like they should. Like, last year he was the best player and averaged a triple-double. This year he's averaging a triple-double, but he's the second best player. But no one's basically saying the only reason PG is averaging 28 this year is because Russ decided to give up majority of the scoring and say, you know what, this is your talent. Let me give you the ball more. I'll still be dominant here.
Yeah, and I think that's a compliment to Russ, yes. Saying, like, I don't have to do all these things. Mm-hmm. I can distribute.
He's basically saying, Paul George, I believe that you can lead this team in scoring and I can do everything else. But since everyone values scoring, they're looking at, Paul George is the best player, and he's an MVP candidate. No, the guy who's averaging a triple-double is the MVP candidate. You have a triple-double guy, and his second option is averaging 28.
Right.
Because, you know, that it doesn't go the other way around. It doesn't say, all right, you're averaging 28, and I'm averaging a triple-double, and I'm not even in this category.
Well, but also I think the real reason why Russ wouldn't be the MVP is because PG takes away votes. They cancel each other out.
They cancel each other.
PG, to me, is like the fourth. I think he's the fourth candidate.
They cancel each other out. And I remember seeing a few days ago it said, you know, the most overrated player, and it had Russ and Draymond Green.
Right? Wait, was that voted on by the players?
By the players?
Yeah.
But and someone's like, how can a guy who averages a triple-double be overrated?
You don't think that's jealousy, though?
Players don't. We've all been there. We've all played the game. And that cocky player that comes on the court talking shit, doing all the antics, his talking shit never overexceeds his talent. You know, so, you know, if Russell averaged 40, 10, and 10, they're going to say, you know what? He ain't even that good like that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I could do that if I didn't dominate the ball, too.
You find a way to devalue what he's doing because of the shit talking. Right. So
I think that Harden's on that list, too.
Last year. No, this year. But it's the antics. Everybody wants the good guy who does his business and shut up. So you'll never see Curry on a list, KD on a list. You'll never see those guys because they just Paul George will never be on a list.
You got to respect them for that. Like, they don't say anything, but, and they still kill. Yeah, that's the thing about Kawhi is like, but that's he's like Kawhi is like Mike Myers.
Kawhi will never be on that list from players. It's just that I'm busting your ass and I'm talking shit and you just don't like it.
Draymond, I could do what he does if I play with KD.
Yeah. And that's how they value. So they just value. They just try to, you try to find a way to say, he's not that good. Yeah, he had 60, but look, he took like 27 shots. He wasn't even playing against nobody.
So you're saying players are petty?
Yeah. What are you doing?
But for Russ, the other thing, too, is he's allowed to rebound more. I think you said there was a different era, you know, when you had more bigs, more post players, that guards weren't chasing rebounds.
I just hate
they were the outlet. They're on the wing.
I hate the thought that when someone say he's padding stats. What the fuck does that actually mean? Like, he's padding stats? Like, what is he, passing the ball too much? Like, you're mad he's passing the ball too much? Because I hope you're not saying he's rebounding too much, because rebounding is effort. So he's giving too much effort on the rebound. Like, the thought of someone saying, oh, he's padding, that's he's padding stats. Like, because he's rebounding, like, that is an effort play. Like, no one's going to say, Drummond is padding stats. Oh, you're padding too many wins. You shouldn't be trying to win so much. Oh, you're padding blocks. Like, he's just blocking everybody too much. Like, these are effort. It's effort. Like, he's rebounding. That's what effort is, you know? No one said Rodman was rebounding too much because he went after every fucking thing. Like it's an effort play. Like, you will hope all fucking 14 players decided to give that much effort. So it's like, it's one of those things that, like, once one stupid person says it on TV, the rest of the dummies say it after.
But also for him, too, is that's just the way he's going to play. So he wants to do all these things. So
yeah. But you're basically trying to tell a guy, don't play so hard.
But that's the only way he knows. If there's a criticism on Russ, he's fifth gear all the time.
Yeah, that's what I said. Don't play third gear. You know, don't average a triple-double. You know, average, you know, like 17, 6, and 4, you know. And
so wait, you're telling me not to play
hard. That's basically, that's what they expect. Don't play too hard. Mm-hmm. Let everybody else get a rebound here and there.
So do you think that PG signing over the summer, coming back, that was part of the conversation? Like, we know how to play with each other now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to score more. I can rely on you. I can trust you. I think that's what it was. We trust each other more now. Well, last year, we just wanted to see.
The thing is we have the notion, like, the narrative around stars is the star player also needs to be the go-to guy, which is not always the case. Your star player is not always the go-to guy.
Not always, not sure, but in think of the team.
80% of the time, your star player is not the go-to guy.
Explain that, because I know what you mean. But
okay, Spurs. Mm-hmm. Who is the star player?
I'd say DeMar, but
okay. The 10 years ago, 2 years.
Tim Duncan.
Okay, who is the go-to guy?
In Tim Duncan's era, Ginobili.
Okay, so your star player was not the go-to guy at the end. Ginobili was. All right, the Lakers with Shaq. Shaq was the star player. Kobe was the go-to guy.
Cleveland. Kobe wanted to be both.
Yeah, but Kobe wanted to be both because I don't need you, because you need me more than I need you. That's the mindset. Mm. So with LeBron, the knock on him is he's not the go-to guy. LeBron, D-Wade. LeBron, Kyrie. Then you had KG. He had Sam Cassell be the go-to guy, and he finally gets to that next level. Then when they get to Boston, it's Paul Pierce, right? Russell finally decided to say, you know what? Okay, I'm not the go-to guy. I get it now. Okay, I'm going to stop losing games trying to prove that I'm the go-to guy. I'm just going to give it to the go-to guy and let you be that go-to guy. See, that used to be the little battle between him and KD
Is that what it is right there? He matured.
He matured. Like, he decided.
But that's the thing,
because you got to remember, you put so much pressure on the guy being the go-to guy when he's the star player. You want him to hit the big shots and do all that, but some guys just don't have that type of skill. His skill is playing basketball, getting everyone involved, making Adams look good, and then you have a guy who's just a good scorer, doesn't worry about everybody else.
So he was figuring himself out, I think, with KD.
Yeah, that's
because
what I'm
saying. You would have wanted him to be that with one of the best players.
That's what I said, but you got to remember, they're both, it's like Jordan and, it's like Shaq and Kobe. Both are young, one is younger.
That's what it was.
Shaq is like, I want the ball at the end. It's like, well, we're going to keep losing games. They're going to foul you. You're going to go to the free throw line. You're going to brick that shit. Just give me the ball. Let me do my thing. You know, and that's where the same thing with KD and Russ. You know, you're sitting there trying to figure out who gets the ball at the end. Who gets it at the end? You know, and KD's like, of course I do. Russ is like, well, I can make those shits.
You know, KD's more chill, more passive.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But as a that's what I respect about LeBron. LeBron was not going to risk wins trying to prove he was a go-to guy like Kobe and Jordan.
Young LeBron.
Still.
Because he didn't have the help.
But he didn't have the help, but he still passed it. He was still passing up shots, giving it to the guys he thought was fit for that. Those are the guys who, like, Mo Williams was one of the guys who was taking those big shots at the end.
But you don't think
I know because I had to guard them shits.
You didn't think he was going to pass it to him.
No.
But there were games, I'm sure he was frustrated because, like, damn, he missed a shot again. I kicked it out to him. I made the right play.
Yeah, but he makes the right play.
So think of the game, like, when they played against Detroit when the finals. It was, you know.
And he passed it to
No, he took over.
Yeah. But that's what I said.
That's where he just like, he flipped the switch.
Russell, if they're feeling it, they're going to try to take that last shot. But that's not your game sometimes. Like Anthony Davis, the best player on Pelicans, Drew Holiday was his go-to guy. At the end of the
star
game.
Star player go-to guy.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why I said, so Russ finally understood that, you know what, let me just, like I even seen him one time and he was getting ready to go like, yeah, it was, I think it was the last game. Mm-hmm. It was the game winner, right?
Yeah,
he wanted to go like, oh shit. Mm-hmm, and then he's like, you know what, let me just go.
He was doubled on the wing and Paul George is in
the
corner.
Yeah, let me give it to Paul George.
He's like, ah, takes everything
yeah,
he has.
But he's learning. And that's why, like, I don't think people understand the greatness he has that he's giving up the scoring and he's still averaging triple-double.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to go through because he's not our MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you got to take your hats off to a guy that can average a triple-double, not once, not two, three years in a row. And I think the first season, it was Russ playing with a chip on his shoulder, man on fire, KD's gone, it's my team now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do fucking everything, all right, because they said I can't.
Yep.
Or whatever they're going to say about me. Then Paul George
and Melo came.
You think it was a little bit of, it's my team now.
Last year, you had I just averaged a triple double. You guys came here, so you guys got to adjust to me. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, he starts to realize, you know what? For me to win, I need those guys to. And that's why, you know, they're sitting there trying to get Melo involved. Paul George is doing his thing, and that's why it was inconsistent. This last summer, they probably sat and said, you know what? I know what's going on, and I think I'm doing too much offensively. And I need you to play the half-court game. Mm-hmm. And I'm still going to do me during fast breaks and whenever you need me. So you have the number one option in scoring. And then, you know, it's one of those.
Beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Average a triple-double.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, but that's what I'm saying. It's, if you ever looked at LeBron James and Kyrie, LeBron James, first three quarters, I'm number one, you're number two. Fourth quarter, last 5 minutes, switch. Mm-hmm. And that's what Russ finally decided
that really
to do.
Is this,
we're going to switch.
That is the star player formula. Understand that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So honorable mention, MVP, Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we'll get into my guy. But first, let's take a break, talk about Molecule.
This episode is brought to you by Molecule. Molecule is reimagining the future of clean air, starting with the air purifier. It's not just an improvement on existing outdated technology, but a complete reinvention of air purification. Molecule destroys indoor air pollutants at the molecular level, completely removing them from the air you breathe, eliminating allergens, mold, bacteria, viruses, and airborne chemicals. Since Molecule launched, they've heard hundreds of stories from parents, pet lovers, and severe allergy and asthma sufferers about how Molecule has transformed their lives. One customer even said she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Molecule doesn't look like a traditional air purifier. It's beautifully designed. Think of it as the Apple of air purifiers. Not only is the technology inside revolutionary, but the unit itself looks sleek and modern, made with an aluminum tube shell. It fits in any room of your home. Placing your Molecule next to your bed clears the air you're breathing. Customers have reported feeling energized after getting the best night of sleep they've had in years. Molecule's technology has been personally effective and verified by science, but most importantly, it's been tested by real people. Molecule has given allergy and asthma sufferers around the country an all-new experience. For listeners of the No Chill podcast, we have a special offer from Molecule. Use the code NOCHILL. It's $75 off your first order. Visit molecule.com. That's MOLECULE.com. And at checkout, enter that code NOCHILL. And this episode is also brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. When it's time to make a hire for your small business, naturally, you want to find the best person for the job. Odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn Jobs uses knowledge of both hard skills and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their career, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for. Which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire somebody, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. Your LinkedIn Jobs matches are based on skills and background, but also interests, activities, and passion. Matching lets you quickly get a group of the most relevant, qualified candidates for your role. That way you can focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make quality hires you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. So for listeners of the No Chill podcast, we got something for you. Post a job today at linkedin.com/nochill and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/nochill for $50 off your first job post.
So we're going to talk about my guy.
Okay.
All right. So without giving anything away, it's coming down to you. I guess it comes down to your choice. You get the final say.
Okay.
On MVP.
Yep.
The No Chill podcast is Gilbert Arenas. So I had to take the runner-up, and he's a deserving candidate. It's going to be Giannis.
Uh-huh.
So hold this. Let's look at this. His stat line, 27.7, 12.5, 5.9. Shot 57% from the field, 1.5 blocks.
Okay.
All right. Also, best player on a top team.
Okay.
All right. Last season, they were the seventh seed, 44 wins. This season, first seed. Right? I can take the ball back if you don't want to hold it. I just want to wrap some stats off of you. But I think that's the thing. When you're the MVP, everyone is coming for you every night.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the Bucks last season when they played LA and this season when they played LA. Last season, Giannis was forcing everything, drawing doubles and triple teams, still trying to get to the basket. Mm-hmm. He still could. So you know he can do that. But now, he has a good coach. He has a good team around him. Not superstars,
mm-hmm.
but you look at guys like Bledsoe, guys like Lopez, guys like Middleton. Mm-hmm. They put the right players around him.
Okay.
And gave him a better, as we see, I think that's, as we see in the record, that's the result, right? And he's also figured that out. He's done what is one of the hardest things to do is get better every year.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's delivering consistently every night. You know, with being, you said, that star player, but also the guy that take over in the end, that's Giannis.
And you think, no, that's, he's not going to be the go-to guy.
Yes, he is.
He can't be the go-to guy.
Why not?
Because, one, he can't shoot free throws, and he can't create his own shot.
He can't create his own shot.
No, he can't.
You saw what he did to Blake Griffin?
You mean
backed him down, and just
yeah, but
one step posted him.
Yeah, that's not the go-to guy.
That's like, a hell of a that's a shot he could create.
You think he's a better player than Anthony Davis? And Anthony Davis is not the go-to guy.
Yeah, he's better. I mean, better player than Anthony Davis, I'm going to say yes.
In what? In what aspect? Just going, dribbling down full court? You got to remember, the reason he has to dribble down full court because he doesn't actually have any post-up moves yet.
As he's got yet. That drop step spin.
That drop step spin. But you can't sit there
he's
and throw.
The you longest.
Can't, you can't feed him the ball and say, give us. He has to be already on moving. So he has to take over the forward. I think was he at the three now?
Mm-hmm. Depending on the lineup.
That's what I said. So basically, he's trying to figure out how to dodge certain players at the three and the four. So he's basically the point power forward, point guard, small forward. It's like.
But that's not
your go-to guy because when they shrink that floor, can he hit a jump shot? No.
I would say he could hit a jump shot, not hit. In threes, he's improved, but that's not what they did. Was they surrounded him with guys?
They surround him with shooters around to keep the floor open.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be the go-to guy.
But that is the right way you build around a player.
Yeah.
A superstar.
No, I mean that's what I said. You build around a superstar, but he's not going to be a go-to guy at the end of the game. They're going to have to bring in a guy who can create his own shot when the court gets small.
I think he can do that depending on matchups and if he gets ISOs, right? He also knows if he gets doubled, he can kick it out to Middleton.
Yeah.
You know? Even his big. Look who he has.
And you said he got better this year?
Mm-hmm.
You know he averaged 27 last year?
Mm-hmm.
And 10 rebounds.
Defense. 1.5 blocks.
What did he got last year?
1.3. I'm just saying it went up. But, and I throw that in there because your guy.
1.3.
Better defender. My guy's a better defender than
your
guy.
What I'm saying is he went from 1.3 to 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
He went from 10 rebounds to 12. He went from 26.9 to 27.7. His team won more games. They won, 16 more games.
And that's my point, best player on the best team. I know it's the East, I know.
No, but see, that's the problem I have with the MVP. It's most valuable player in the league, not most valuable player on the best team in the league.
Okay.
Like sometimes they get this wrong. Like because I can't give you the MVP because your team is number one, but your stats doesn't reflect. Like you won 44 games with the same stats last year. How do I say you?
I think the difference last year, like I said, was the coach and the players around him.
But it's 16 wins.
So he got the help. Because the frustrating thing is when you're a good player and you don't have any help.
Okay, but what I'm saying is you didn't make a jump that reflects 16 wins.
I'm saying you did make it. I mean,
27 and 10, 27 and 12. Mm-hmm. 1.5 this year, 1.3 last year. You didn't make a jump. That reflects 14 wins. So that means your team got a little bit better.
Okay.
Around you.
But
not necessarily you.
With what you're saying, if you're the best player on your team, most valuable, Devin Booker. What does Phoenix have without him? Are they doing anything
Nothing.
Without him? But they're not even in the playoffs.
But you're not dominating enough to reflect wins. You're just playing the game. And that's why I went with James Harden.
The thing for Giannis is it's more than stats. It's more than numbers for him. And I think it's also what he gives you on the defensive side of the ball.
Uh-huh. But can you say he played better than Joel Embiid this year?
He's on the floor more.
You had to actually think about that.
That was the dramatic effect.
No, but you actually had to actually put some thought in one is not even considered MVP.
You know what it is? I respect the hell out of these guys. Yeah, all NBA first team.
Yeah, but you didn't even put a thought as MVP candidate in Joel Embiid, but you actually thought about who played better this year. That's the bad part.
Because I know you. I know you're going to come at me with another angle, so I'm just saying what you're thinking.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, what stands out in Greek? What stands out? That's what I'm saying. When I really looked down at his stats and said, all right, last year he averaged this. It was 26.9, all right, so 27. 10 rebounds a game. You shot better from the free throw line. Added a little bit more blocks. Added more assists because now you have the ball more. But what has improved is 16 more wins. Well, your stats doesn't actually say 16 more wins. So I need to look around. Okay, this player got better. This player got better. Your assist doesn't reflect how many points he's averaging versus last year. So you start sitting here and say, well, your team actually just got better all around as a team.
You don't think that was because of him?
His stats doesn't reflect it. It doesn't say he's averaging 24 for someone else to get more points. It doesn't average 10 assists for somebody else to get those assists. That's what I'm saying. Someone individually just got better.
But what you're
just
saying...
Just like Boston's team last year, you add two stars and they go downward. Mm-hmm. They go down...
That's chemistry, but what you're saying...
So his chemistry gotten better. Team chemistry gotten better.
Good for better. Him. But First place team.
But that doesn't have nothing to do with him personally.
So what you're doing is you're walking into my point. You're putting the value on stats and numbers. Cool. I think that goes a long way.
Uh-huh.
All right? But what I'm saying is he did essentially the same thing he did last year. Production is still there. 7, first seed.
Okay,
the team got better.
Okay, you're not
so
getting
it's more than just that.
If you average 10, 10, and 10 this year, right? And I averaged 4 points last year. And I averaged 20 this year. But you're the best player. Do you deserve the MVP for our record change? No.
No, I know you don't. I'm agreeing with you. I understand what you're getting at.
You do not deserve it for something everyone else did. Yeah, your team got better. Yes, your team got better. But how did you affect? Like, Paul George, you're averaging 28. Why? Okay, Russell took 5.
But that superstar. What Giannis doesn't have, he has above average players around him. He has Bledsoe.
But if one averaged 6 and one averaged 12, that was the success of Boston last year and why Kyrie shouldn't been called an MVP candidate, because one guy went from 4 to 14, one guy went from 8 to 16, but your assist didn't reflect their scoring. They just made a conscious decision to work out this summer. So that's what I'm saying. So with Russell, he took 5 points off his points for Paul George to take on Melo's points and what Russell did. You can see the difference. Like, what did Giannis sacrifice for his team for them to get that wins? It's to know. So that means his players individually got better on themselves. Because it's not like he went from 4 assists to 12 and it's like, okay, Giannis is getting these guys better. No, these guys just got a little bit better like they're supposed to.
But do you think what I was saying, the difference from last year was he was going to go at that double team. He was going to try to do everything himself. This year, he's playing freer. He's getting his teammates involved. He trusts his teammates. What I like to say makes them better. They're also good, which helps.
But that's what I'm saying. But how do you say he got them better? They got better.
They're playing together as a team. 60 wins.
60 wins, but that's what I'm saying. How do you
deserve? That's what matters most to me. They're a good team. I don't think you have to be the best player on the first place team to get MVP.
But that's the reason you're giving it to him, because his
for
team
him,
went from,
yes.
Yeah, because his in team this went case. From 44 to 60. But he didn't do nothing different from last year to this year. More points, more rebounds, everything all last year versus this year. So it's like, where's the actual improvement?
I think the difference
did he come back with a mid-range game? Did he come back with a back-to-the-basket game? It's the same guy, start the season off, he's monkey dunking on everyone, driving full court, euro-stepping, dunking. He slows down during the season because they start, you know, trapping him. What I'm saying is everyone else got a little bit better themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between 44 and 60.
Okay. So you get the last word on that. Okay. So now we'll get into your MVP.
Okay.
But first, we're going to take a break, talk about LinkedIn and Burrow.
The No Chill Podcast is brought to you by Burrow, makers of clever furniture designed for real life. And if your real life is like our real life, you're set to spend a lot of time on the sofa in the next few months, because as nice as it is to watch a basketball game, it's much better to watch it in air-conditioned comfort. Burrow sofas are next level great. The clever design means it's easy to get up steep staircases and through narrow doorways. It's easy to set up, it's easy to move, and even means you can add or remove seats as needed. It features naturally scratch and stain resistant fabric, sturdy hardwood frames, and soft non-toxic foam cushions. There's even a built-in USB charger, because Burrow knows the sofa always blocks the most convenient wall outlet. It's totally customizable, so you can pick one of 5 fabric colors, 3 leg finishes, 2 armrest styles, any length. You can even add a chaise lounge or ottoman. 1 week shipping is always free, and Burrow stands by their furniture with a risk-free 30-day return period. It's time to upgrade your sofa to one that actually stands up to your lifestyle. Get $75 off a new sofa and free 1 week shipping by visiting burrow.com/nochill. That's burrow.com/nochill for $75 off a new sofa. Thanks again to Burrow for supporting the show.
So we'll give him a drum roll. We've already acknowledged who it is, but this year he's had a hell of a season. Can't say that you're wrong. MVP goes.
I go James Harden.
James Harden, the beard.
And, you know, it's like, it's not even close decision to me because, one, you had to carry the load. Your second best player missed 24 games. Your production went up a rebound from last year, assist down from last year, but 6 more points than last year. Like, you dominated the NBA. You were the most valuable player in the NBA. And I hope they don't make the same bad decision they made with Kobe versus Nash, which I thought was, you know, bullshit because, yes, Steve Nash's numbers went up, but his wins went down and they still gave it to him versus a guy who basically had to will his team into the playoffs. You know, James Harden didn't have to will his team into the playoffs. He just had to be dominant, you know, and while, you know, his team was going through injuries.
What you saw, the way he scored, 50, 60, you know, that run that he had, what's the hardest part about that?
Being consistent. It's, you know, knowing that, you know, when you're at that point, you know, when you're at that point and you're scoring like that, the only thing that's stopping you is you. You know, there's, you're not going to see any new different type of double teams or defenses. It's just you, the concentration you have, the preparation you have. You know, did you prepare the night before? Did you fuck off the night before? You know, it's being in tune with, you know, with what's going on, preparing yourself for that battle, preparing yourself for that matchup. Who are you going against? You know, what advantages does he have versus you? You know, or is he going to make you react or are you going to make him react? And the more, as an offensive player, the more you make them react, the defense, versus them making you react, you're more in control. Your game is going to be more consistent. Like, what makes Kawhi Leonard such a great defender is because he's making offensive players react to him instead of the offensive players making him react. Like, nah, I'm going to make you go there so I can snatch back here. He's like, no, you're going to go there. you're going where I'm making you go.
You dictate where they do. Mm-hmm. But also, I think when you just said, you know, when strategies to throw different looks at you in different situations, and not that you get rattled, but it kind of throws you off a little bit. So I might, instead of going for 30, I might go for 24, but it was a quiet 24 because they threw, you know, longer defenders on me, more physical guys. But for him, I feel like it was just math, like, throw whatever you want at me.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I said. When you train and you're working on all of that. It's about you. It's I'm going out there. You're gonna have to stop me. You know, it's you stop me, and good luck with it. And that's how he played this year. Like, it was one of those, like, he went out. Like, we've seen him. After games, he scores 61. He's back in the weight room, back in the gym, working. Like, that's what it really takes. And I know, you know, we can say, all right, 60 wins versus, you know, what, 53? Like, seven more, like, this is it. You have seven more wins as a team in the Eastern Conference, which doesn't matter to me. You know, you have 60 wins versus 53 wins, and his players were hurt this year. And his players being hurt shows in his stats that he had to dominate to keep this afloat.
Because that was the thing. They didn't start off so well. took them a minute to launch.
Mm-hmm. And you know, so funny.
But the thing that really earned it, I think, like you said, not to cut you off, but when Chris Paul went down.
He took it. But that's what you do. You take it to a next level.
So you're also shorthanded, and I think the thing to me that's impressive, the energy.
You have to sustain, but that means you're getting rest when you need to. You're not out there partying and clubbing. You're really sitting and, you know, getting the rest that you need to keep going out there doing what you need to do. This is the same performance, to be honest, that the type of performance, it wasn't as, it was dominant then like it is now. 2000, I think it's 2014, 15, Steph's first one. I felt that was James because Ms. Dwight, all damn near all year, Ms. Patrick Beverly, damn near all year. He was averaging 27-9, something like that. He had to dominate to get them to the second seed, the seed. So you miss your best defender, your best two defenders, your second best player, and you had to will that team to the second seed. Steph's team balled out. The bench was amazing. He was amazing. But he didn't have an MVP-like year. You know, and I thought that should have been James's first year.
Agree, yeah. And I think that motivated him.
Yeah, it did. Does, right? That motivated him, then that motivated Steph to say, well, y'all didn't think I won nothing for real? Uh-huh. I'll show you. And then he came back with the next year of just fucking excellence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember last year, what were you going to say? Mm-hmm. Remember last year, I forget, we were watching you second round or third round. Mm-hmm. You were watching, there was something you noticed about James. And I think that is probably the biggest factor in this season for him, the biggest difference from last year to this year, the effort. You noticed plays where you're like, get back on defense, James. And it wasn't because he's not like a hustle guy who doesn't care. You were saying what he did on offense, if he was frustrated, it would take him out of the defensive
side. Yeah, okay, when you're playing in the playoffs, I mean, he still has the same little problem. When you're playing a team like Golden State, you got to understand, let's say you're allowed the average Golden State team, their average play, you're allowed 5 mistakes during that game. And anything over that, you're jeopardizing that actual win. Well, if I shoot a 3 and my man goes and I just turn around, that's 1 mistake. If I throw a ball right here and they take off and I'm like, God damn it, and that's 2 mistakes. You know, so the fact that he like turnovers or little things that, yo, just give a hustle on it. They might miss that. They might miss that layup or what's the name. He didn't make those efforts. Like, you know, he can make a turnover that's right here, or they can steal a ball right here, and they get ready to go. Instead of running with him and running them down, he just turns around and looks at the ref, and they go down and get the easy 2. Those are the plays you cannot do in the playoffs. Like, you have to, like, it's 5 mistakes. You gotta make sure they're good ones.
And you got to stay locked in. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the thing we said, it was energy. But also, he was just locked in at all times.
This year, he was locked in offense. You know, let's just say it. He's locked in offense.
Even
he's an offensive juggernaut. That's what he is.
Defense, he doesn't just mope around.
But he's not wasting his energy on. He's not Kawhi Leonard. Like, you know, and this year, I had to respect what he brought. Like, I really did. I had to be like, you know what? Okay. Bing. Bing, he's there. He's there.
Okay, so you know what we have for him?
Uh-huh.
We don't have a trophy or anything, but we got... I don't know, it's not the sunshine, it's blending job. This is a friend of the podcast, the Gold Gods.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Where'd you get yours from?
That's right. The Gold Gods on Fairfax. Mm-hmm. Friends of the... Fans of the podcast.
Okay.
They wanted me to show...
I was gonna say, how come you keep getting all the little things? And
we got something for you.
I should be out here gold out.
We got this is for anybody. There might be a agent zero.
Okay.
So, but you say it's hats off to them.
Yeah, hats off to what Kawhi brought this year, getting put in a whole new system, missing all of last year, and averaged 27 and still played amazing deep. Like it just like I really had to sit back and say, yo, dude is fucking nice. You know, it's just, he's quiet. It doesn't look pretty, but on both ends, he does it. He just does it. Like, you know, it's just, it's one of those things that's like, when you look up at the box score, it's like, he had 27. His other guy had 12. Like, I didn't even notice him. Like, he goes unnoticed. He's an assassin. Like, he's really an assassin, a quiet assassin that's going out there. So, he is Russell's runner-up, to them two, and then Kawhi for me is right there.
I don't think he played enough. That was
I know, but he's right there. Fuck it, I don't care.
Katie and Steph cancel each other out.
You know, Katie and Steph, they cancel each other out. And that's the bad part about the Golden State team is you don't really get to see their dominance anymore.
Like, you don't see them unleashed.
You don't get them. You don't really get to, like, we seen James 36 and all of this, and those two are sitting there at 26, 27. And one wants to think, well, if one gave up 26 whole points, what would the other one be doing? Like, Jesus Christ, he's averaging 27 with the 26 on his team, with the Clay on his team, if one was gone, this motherfucker, shitty.
That's a great question. Like, if KD had his own team, my next year, what would that mean?
You got to remember, Steph,
like, if him and Russ weren't going to work out, so be it. But then if he didn't go to Golden State, because it was just kind of like the Avengers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He went to his own, like New York or Clippers or somebody like that.
I'm pretty sure it's 36, 37. Yeah. I mean, who was stopping him when he had to put the effort in? Like, we've seen what players do when they're forced. Mm-hmm. Like LeBron James in a 2014-15 championship game, Kyrie gets hurt. 39-13-9. He was forced to just do everything. 39-13-9.
Harden without Chris Paul.
Yeah, but you see what dominant players really do. Like, you know, so it's hard to say, like, if Dame didn't have
CJ,
what would he do right now? You know, he'd be, like, you'd be looking at him different. But because these guys have to sacrifice for someone else, we don't value how good they really are.
We do.
I do personally, because I couldn't see it.
I watch. Mm-hmm. But he, like, you asked me about Embiid, and, you know, compared to Giannis, compared to AD, like, yeah, all these guys are good. Like, you're asking me to compare, like, a Ferrari to a Lamborghini to, like.
Well, we can do that, okay. Giannis, that's what I said, and then what he did was nothing special to me. You got 27-12, right? Nobody on your team. 27-13, and you got Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons. You take those two off, what do you have right here? What do you have? You have a whole fucking other guy. You have a whole, like, you have a 32, 30, like, that's the difference. That's how I value.
You know what it is for Embiid too? He's the alpha, right? Would you say that?
No, Jimmy.
Simmons not.
Jimmy is probably more alpha than Joel. They're going to bump heads, but
I feel like they're cool for now, but.
I think Jimmy's more alpha than. Like, you don't know. You're alpha until a real alpha comes. You know,
Jimmy seems quiet. Like, he figured it out.
Like Melo in Denver. He was alpha until Iverson came. I think he got a new alpha. You know, Shaq was alpha until Kobe got older.
Yeah, new sheriff in town.
New alpha.
But I feel like that for Jimmy, it's the right place at the right time because he went through what he went through in Chicago and Minnesota. They got a damn good team around him.
See, Jimmy, Jimmy's going to be one of those guys. On bad teams, he's gonna look like a bad guy because his passion. He can't control his passion. It's like Kevin Garnett. Can't control the passion. I need to let it all on the floor. I need to know when you're fucking up. You gotta let me know when I'm fucking up. Coach, you're fucking up. Like, everyone's fucking up. We're all fucking up. But, you know, he takes his responsibility. On a good team, he's a great guy. Uh-huh. Which fucking is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. On the same great guy, because you're winning, ooh, great, great team.
Everyone loves you when you win.
Yeah, when you're winning, look at it. It's so negative. Look at him. Nobody wants to play with him. No, yeah, losers don't want to play with a guy who wants to win all the time. You know, that's just facts.
But he also, when you wear your heart on your sleeve,
yeah,
he's one of those guys.
Like Kobe in this.
No bullshit. You get what you get.
Like the last year of Kobe's year. Like, look, he doesn't, the young guys, you know this. Like, the reason Kobe has to, like, they don't like him is because they don't want to work hard. They don't want to come here three times a day. That has nothing to, that doesn't reflect him. That reflects them. That's what this is their team. That's what you really have. If no one is going to take that challenge as a young guy to say, you know what, Kobe works out three times a day. I see what Kobe is. I want to mimic it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might not be, you know, I might not be able to work out three times because mentally I'm not there yet, but I'm going to try it. That's what you look from a young guy who's taking a chance. But, man, I don't even want to be around him. Like, okay.
Well, wasn't that Kobe saying, like, day one, first day of school, I'm going to test you, see what you are. Are you really in for this?
Yes.
Because guys can run, they could be in shape, but it was like you're not in shape. You're not in Kobe shape.
You got to remember.
Or like when I push you, are you going to fall or
you gotta
push back?
Yeah. Because you got to remember, if you're pushing me back, when we go out here and go, I don't have to worry about you. You're one thing I don't have to worry about you. Like, so when Jimmy's on the floor, they don't have to worry about Jimmy. Mm-hmm. When Jimmy was in Minnesota, he had to worry about all of them. Mm-hmm. If you guys can't handle me in practice, how are you going to handle Greek? How are you going to handle LeBron, KD? Like, how are you going to handle these guys if you can't take challenges?
I think that's an old school mentality. Really, that's
it's a competitive mentality.
It's generational.
It's competitive.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
If you can't compete, they can't trust you. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it is. If you're not going to compete, like, why are we going out here?
Why are we doing this?
Like, if you don't like my trash talking and I average 22, what happens when this motherfucker's coming down trying to score 50 on you, James Harden? Uh-huh. You're crying to coach about me. When we play him, he's scoring 70 on you. that's just how we look at things. Like, you take the challenge so they know when we go into the battlefield, you're fighting.
And these three guys are competitors. Like, that's what they're all
You get to that next level, like that top tier, that runners up, that MVP, you're a competitor. Like, you're all NBA, you're a competitor for the most part, you know.
But that
All-star... You can slip in. You can be a lazy fucker that slips into an all-star.
But really, all NBA top five, you know, MVP candidates, mm-hmm. those are elite, cream of the crop competitors.
Yeah. Well,
yes. This year, it's the beard. Harden. It was a hell of a year.
I mean, that's what I said. It's one of those years. But it's the same when Kobe had his year. Is, you know, it's... That is it. Is there some years you'd be like, wait, why did he win again? Like why did he? Because he had the best team. But his stats are just normal. Like, there's 100. There's 12 players that's doing the same exact thing, who has 4 wins less, 6 wins less. That's 3 people. You know, someone got injured. That's a game winner here. But there's nothing extraordinary about any of this. 35. Your team was last place and you're sitting here in the playoffs? That's dominance.
If I want to, my one moment for Harden that I can remember from this regular season was the shot he hit against Golden State with Iggy on him, 2 guys on him. The uh-huh. 3-pointer.
Yeah, yeah,
like that was like,
yeah.
Give him the MVP.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
forget
yeah.
all like 60
I mean,
points on that
stuff. Listen,
too.
Greek played well. His team did well. You know, now they're going into the playoffs. But when it comes to taking that next step, he hasn't taken it yet. You know, that's just it. He just hasn't, like, dialed in and said, you know what, I need to go to the next level. 26 last year, 27 this year. That next step is a 30 to 36. Like, MVP at 30, 36. Like,
but the next step for me was you made the Milwaukee Bucks a 1 seed.
No, everyone else.
I understand. You said this already. Like, you've been there.
If he averaged 31, 30, mm-hmm. then I can say a 4-point difference changes your fucking record.
But I'm saying he didn't really have to because he had good players
around
him.
Because he had good players.
That's cool, but still. he's still if I could sum it up, Giannis was still Giannis with a good team.
He played great.
That's why.
He played good.
But guess what? It was a coin flip. It was really like a two-headed coin.
It was a two-headed coin. Like this was a next year, if he averages 30, 31, 32, and they're winning 60-something games, he took the next step. Like, he's right where James lost the last.
I think
years.
He's right where a lot of great players are, but they don't really ever
yeah,
transcend
that's what
that. That's why I was so
that's
impressed.
That's what I said. He's right, but he hasn't transcended yet. He's right where James lost to Curry, James lost to Westbrook. He's right there. That's where he is. He's damn, I almost won. Mm-hmm. Now let's see what happens mm-hmm. next year. Like, he's at the damn, goddamn it, how'd I lose? You mm-hmm. know, that pisses you off loss where you go into the next summer. So I really want to see, like, he has my vote for next year. Like, I'm already saying, okay, he's going to probably win it next year. Because this is where they are. This is where they get to, where you take that real bad hit, like, oh, goddamn it. Like, Like, how did I lose? I have the best record. I averaged 27. Like, that's that loss. That's that shit that hits you in the stomach that makes you just fucking go this summer.
All right. We'll see what next year, we'll see what he comes back with. But for this year, it was a hell of a run for Harden.
Hell of a run for both.
Yeah.
For four. Five. Three.
But
it's our three. Russell was not even a candidate.
But we got the respect that he averaged a triple-double. Again. If I'd have told you.
NBA analysts are the fucking worst.
Yeah.
They convinced the world that he's stat chasing because they couldn't do it. you mad at me because you didn't want to rebound? Like, so all you do is just, when they shoot, run in and beat nine other players to it.
Not everyone can do it, though. If I'd have told you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, that a guy could average a triple-double for a season, you would have been like, that's fucking hard. If I told you 3 seasons in a row.
The next person who can probably average it is somebody like Ben Simmons. Because he's a natural point. Mm-hmm. So he's a natural point. So he's going to, at some point, average 10 assists. He's 6'11". Rebounds are going to come easy. You know, it's one of those things where if you had to just pick a guy, he would be the candidate, because at 6'11", a point guard, you're going to get easily 10 rebounds and, you know, 10 points. Now it's just your assist being a shooter with Embiid. You can get it, you know. Just got to be aggressive. But he's the closest guy, I think. That if I had to say, all right, I got to put money on someone, it'd be him.
It's just not that easy. It's damn hard. But these guys continue to impress.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Now it's the playoffs. Whole different game.
Now they got to win championship. That's that's the next thing that everyone looks for. But all right.
Yeah, that's the funny part. None of these MVPs got a chance to win championship.
Not with the Warriors out there.
No.